This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The mysterious neurological condition known as Asperger's syndrome may soon be history. Proposals for the fifth edition of the Psychiatric Bible, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders, or the DSM-5, recommend filing Asperger's under the general category of autism spectrum disorder. For those already diagnosed, the change would alter or at least complicate a part of their identity. Benjamin Nugent is an assistant professor of English and director of creative writing at Southern New Hampshire University. His diagnosis of Asperger's was taken away for a different reason, namely that he doesn't have it. Benjamin recently wrote about the misdiagnosis in a New York Times op-ed and joins us now in the studio. Benjamin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
How old are you when you were diagnosed?
Well, you know, I was sitting at the table with my mom when I was 17, and my mom was a psychologist who thought a lot about Asperger's, and we went through the DSM definition, if I remember correctly, and I said, oh, well, that sounds like me. And I think that was when it was more or less settled in her mind, or began to be settled in her mind.
What kind of symptoms did you say yes to on the checklist?
Well, the symptoms are pretty vague, so a lot of people could say yes to them, but I had intensive interests, which included playing guitar in my room and listening to music and reading. And I wasn't very good at making friends. I had a few friends, but not very many. I wasn't a recluse, but I was, not a popular kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, really what qualifies you to have Asperger's in the DSM-4, which is still the rule that people have, is essentially a lack of social skill and intense interests.
Mm-hmm.
And with those things checked off the list, I think, my mom began to wonder about it.
And your mom, who was a researcher at the mm-hmm. time, or very interested in what was going on in the world of Asperger's, you appeared in a film, in fact,
mm-hmm.
one of these short film strips of, mm-hmm. Information about Asperger's. How did you react to that diagnosis? Did you think, oh, okay, this explains everything? Was it kind of liberating, validating? Did you kind of embrace it?
No, I mean, I don't think I understood what Asperger's syndrome was very well until my mother actually showed me the educational video she had made. And then when I saw the other subjects who were being interviewed, I was immediately like, what?
mm-hmm.
It was that kind of reaction, because they were very obviously mildly autistic. They would kind of spout information about sea creatures, for example,
yeah.
at length. And I was pretty sure at that point that that wasn't me.
Well, do you think your mother's occupation kind of led her in that direction? Or, I think
sure.
a lot of parents have anxiety if their kids are not normalized in the sense that maybe they have ideas of.
Sure. It's so hard for parents right now, because we're in a place with our understanding of the human mind where we don't really know whether something's neurologically based or socially based. That is, whether you're unpopular just because you're in high school mm-hmm. and you're kind of weird looking and into unconventional things, or if your neurology is actually different from other people's. And so I think parents are constantly trying to walk this very wavy, thin path between acknowledging if a child is neurologically different from most other children on one hand, and over-diagnosing on the other hand.
So when did you realize that you'd been over-diagnosed, that you did not really have Asperger's syndrome?
I think it was when I saw that video. like most people, I grew up a lot between ages 17 and 22, and so I think maybe once I'd sort of established myself in New York City and met other people who were more like me, then I also came into a greater sense that it wasn't that I had a neurological condition that made it hard for me to find friends. It was that I hadn't moved to New York yet.
Yeah. Well, you're now the author of a book called American Nerd. Now, that, you probably met a lot of people in New York who were sort of a lot like you. Is there an overlap, do you think, between these kind of elements of, geek culture, as it's called, and the current diagnosis or criteria for Asperger's?
There's a lot of overlap between a kid who has intense interests and somebody who might be diagnosable as mildly autistic. And I think the difference is that this perhaps should be the difference in a new DSM, would be that I think a kid who understands what's going on with social interaction but still isn't popular should not be diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. That the difference, the distinction should be whether you fail to understand what's going on socially and therefore can't make friends, can't be socially competent, so to speak, or if it's just that there are other things that are preventing you from making a lot of friends despite your perception of what's happening socially.
Well, let's talk about that diagnosis because it's created huge ripples in the neurological and Asperger's study and autism study communities. The proposal for the DSM-5 recommends folding Asperger's into what they call autism spectrum disorder, which would change the criteria for the diagnosis. This is Dania Jekyll. She's director of the Asperger's Association of New England talking about it.
Mm-hmm. People are concerned that if there's no Asperger syndrome, they're going to lose that diagnosis and they're going to lose their identity, their service, and their community. 18, 20 years ago, when there was a diagnosis of autism and there was no diagnosis of Asperger's, there were many, many families who were extremely isolated. They had children who were struggling, but there was no place for them. There was no community for them. The parents felt alone. They didn't understand how to parent. There were no resources. And we feel that the changes to the DSM-5, the proposed changes, could bring us back into the time when there are really no services, no community, no help for those folks with Asperger's syndrome. And we really don't want to go back in time. That really would be, I think, a disservice to the entire community.
Well, Benjamin, you talked a little bit about what you think the distinction should be, you know, not just social awkwardness, or maybe an awareness of social awkwardness, I guess, would be kind of the barometer. Mm-hmm. Listening to what Dania was just talking about, I mean, this is a much larger issue. You went through this personally. Mm-hmm. You probably have an acute awareness of what's going on sort of politically or in the research community. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on what she said?
Yeah, I think it is really important for people who are on the autism spectrum to have communities and to have services, and she makes an incredibly valid point. No kid who has mild autism should go untreated, and that's one of the reasons why I say very explicitly in my Times op-ed page that you know, the intentions of my mother and her colleague were incredibly noble, that there's very important work to be done in destigmatizing Asperger's syndrome and autism spectrum disorders of all kinds, and in building communities and creating services for people who have it. What's also important, however, and I think this is less talked about, is that the current outlines of what Asperger's syndrome is are so vague that we don't really understand what we're talking about when we talk about Asperger's, that we don't understand typically when you and I say to each other over lunch, oh, yeah, that guy's kind of Asperger's-y, what we mean. You know, it's really entered pop culture, and it's become part of our lexicon, and people throw it around without any understanding of what they're saying or any consensus as to the real definition. And so it seems to me that the diagnosis probably should be modified in such a way so that there can still be a community, there can still be services for people who are on the autism spectrum, but it's defined so precisely that any old nerd isn't an Aspie.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and telling your story. Benjamin Nugent, Assistant Professor of English and Director of Creative Writing at Southern New Hampshire University, author of American Nerd, The Story of My People. You'll find links to his New York Times op-ed, to the Asperger's Association of New England website, and to the press release outlining proposed changes to the DSM-5. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Love to hear what you think as well. Should the criteria for Asperger's diagnosis be narrowed? Have you ever wondered if your social anxieties deserve a diagnosis? Or if your diagnosis is overblown, let us know on Facebook or send us a tweet. We'll be back in just a minute with more Word of Mouth.